Hi, this is Alan Chartok, and I'm here with David Hawkins, the former senior editor of Congressional Quarterly and Roll Call, who covered Congress from 1995 through 2018. David Hawkins, I want to get local here. In our area, we have a huge race between a guy named John Faso in the 19th District and an opponent who happens to be African-American, and a brilliant guy who was very smart, but who has recently been subjected to some pretty nasty advertisements from the Faso camp. They keep saying that as a younger man, much younger man, he did hip-hop. Yet, when you take a look at Ocasio-Cortez, I know it's a long thing, a lot of kids came out who had never come out before, and hip-hop is their music.
That's right. I mean, it is also... This is a hot race, right? Because as we were talking about the other day, there are very few split districts. This one was almost a split district. Trump carried this district by just a whisker. I think he got 51% of the vote. So it's a true toss-up district in terms of its vote. One of the rare ones in the country. Antonio Delgado is a compelling, impressive guy. He's came through the CQ roll call newsroom earlier this year, and people thought this is the kind of this is the kind of person you want in public life, whether you agree with him ideologically or not. He just comes across as kind of having a servant's heart and being intense and intentional. Young person you hope when you speak to civics classes that they grow up and want to live in public life.
You bet.
I don't know enough about the. I don't live in that district, obviously, and I don't know the demographics in a detailed way. But unfortunately, what is also true, as you know, is that these kind of attack ads, they work. I mean, it's people. Everybody says, "Gosh, why is it so negative? Why is campaigning so negative? Why is everybody always attacking the other guy?" Well, the answer is that those same people who don't like that tone ended up getting persuaded by that tone. And negative personal attack ads work. Now, when you stray over into something like, darkening somebody's skin or attacking, their sort of cultural underpinnings, that's sort of a new one on me. And I'd be interested to hear, it'll be fascinating to watch to see if it works. I sure hope it backfires, just not because I'm taking a partisan side here, but I think that seems to be one step beyond on what an attack ad should be about.
Let's talk about Bob Woodward's book, Fear. Can one book determine an election?
No, one book cannot determine an election. But, Bob Woodward's book is not going to be the only book. Obviously, this is the second, third or fourth book that is. When I called my kid the other day at college to say, have you been reading stories about this book that gets inside the chaotic White House, he said, which one? You can read lots of them. Woodward's book is probably going to go down as the best of the bunch. I revere Bob Woodward, as most journalists of my generation and older generations do, that he's, I think that he wrote that book with the rebuttable presumption that he thinks everything in that is locked down true. But no, it will not. It will not sway an election. It does seem as though no matter, it's become a cliche, right? The shoot somebody in Times Square cliche. Trump himself said during the campaign, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue or in Times Square and I wouldn't lose any of my supporters. That nothing that they read, nothing that his base reads peels them away, that it would be. So it's all about independence. Would Bob Woodward's book have enough juice in it and the coverage of it to tilt some people? Maybe, but I don't think it's going to be dispositive.
I got to go to another place now. You're such a precious resource, David Hawkins, that I wanted to make sure I asked you the key question a lot of people are talking about. Will Nancy Pelosi be Speaker if they take the House?
That is the parlor game that you play at every time you talk with Democrats. I think she will be. There is nobody at the, oldest cliche in politics, it takes somebody to beat somebody. I don't think that they have coalesced around a somebody. I think she says she wants it. I think that there is a chance. What I am hearing is that she knows that she won't live forever, and that she's already been the Democratic leader for a long, long time, second longest Democratic House leader in history after Sam Rayburn, and that she probably would win. Now, this is all we're talking about here is if the Democrats win. If the Democrats don't win, she's gone as their leader. But if the Democrats do win, I think they would have as the person who led them back to the promised land, who raised the money, who has broken the glass ceiling in American politics like nobody else. I mean, Speaker of the House, which she was for 4 years, is the third highest constitutional office. They would not deny that to her, even though some of them say they don't want to vote for her. Unless they have an alternative, she would be that person. Now, I think that she would probably at that point say, I am glad you have restored me to the big speaker's gavel. I'll do this maybe for a few months or a year. And then while you and I will help you all pick your next generation of leaders, and then I will go gracefully. That would be my sort of outside the box prediction based on a little bit of reporting. But I don't think it's locked down that that's what she'd do. But that's something I would look to definitely be entertained.
2 minutes I got here. If the House goes Democratic, is there going to be an impeachment?
In 2 minutes. So there's two schools of thought among the Democrats. There are some Democrats who say, look, Donald Trump, if we take the House, Donald Trump will want to work with us. And we could co-opt him, and we could get him to sign all kinds of interesting things. We could probably work with him on an immigration deal. We could probably work with him on an infrastructure deal that would rebuild roads and bridges rewire the internet connections around the country, do all this kind of stuff that Democrats would want to get done. But that would mean we'd have to hold our impeachment fire for a little while. The other side says, heck no. The Democratic base wants blood, and they will try and impeach him as soon as they can. They will have a hard time resisting. They won't resist, and that there will be drives to impeach him, or at least all kinds of oversight hearings on all manner of things that have happened in the White House in the last 2 years that will make next year all about Trump and Trump's failings in the eyes of the Democrats and not about making policy.
Okay, so you got a minute to go. There are a lot of people disapproving of the way Chuck Schumer's been handling himself, especially from the progressive and left wing of the group.
That is true. This is mostly expressing itself, I guess, most recently on the Kavanaugh nomination. Progressives think that he could have maybe tried a little bit harder to push against Kavanaugh. He's got, of course, a delicate game to play. Circling back to what we talked about yesterday, ten members of his caucus are running for re-election in states that Donald Trump carried. Five of them in states that Donald Trump carried by more than 20 points. So if he wants to play the long game, and Chuck Schumer is good at the long game, he wants as many of those people back on his side next year as possible. And if that means if he calculates that the Kavanaugh nomination is lost to him, i.e., won by the president, won by Kavanaugh, then why push those people into those Trump state Democratic senators into an untenable position? I think I, again, can't beat somebody with nobody. Chuck Schumer is their guy. There is no other Democrat who is anywhere close to mounting a challenge to be the Democratic leader of the Senate. And I think the vast majority of his colleagues in Washington think he's doing a great job.
Always great to talk to our friend, a man I so admire, David Hawkins, former senior editor of CQ and Roll Call, who had covered Congress from 1995 through 2018. Nobody knows it better. David, thank you so much. When we come back the next time, I'm going to ask you about Mueller.
Okay, thanks. Look forward to it.